Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Now, it's hard to believe it's been 20 years since the release of the Scissor Sisters' debut album. They are back next year with an arena tour to celebrate, and they are coming to Dublin. Lead singer and one of the great showmen of the stage, Jake Shears, is on the line. Good morning, Jake. You can hear me there okay, Jay, can you? Just...
Yeah.
Brilliant,
yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah. Hi, good morning.
That's the energy I was expecting from Jake Shears, isn't it? Congratulations, 20 years. The anniversary tours are all very much in vogue at the moment. We were chatting to Boy George only recently in Culture Club. They're going to do their two albums in sequence. Are you going to put a twist to your 20-year tour?
Well, I think, I can't imagine doing the record actually in sequence, but we might. I think we're going to play, you know, we're going to play all the songs from the first record.
Yes.
Which it's, you know, some of those songs we haven't played, you know, in a long, long time.
Yeah.
So excited to play those. And then I think we're just going to play everything we've ever sort of, you know, just our favorite songs from our catalog. So it's going to be a blast. I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a trip playing like, you know, some of the old album tracks that we just haven't played forever.
That is exactly what the fans expect. You haven't performed live together since 2012, is that right?
That is correct.
Okay.
It's been a long time. It's been really fun. It's going to be a trip. You know, I've been performing the last 10 years and been putting records out, but it's going to be really fun for us to be together. I know the boys are really, really super excited.
I remember seeing you at Oxygen Music Festival in Ireland. I know it's a crazy time for you. I don't know if you have any recollection of what city and what country you're in at that time.
No, I remember. Did I roll around in a puddle in front of the stage at one
yes,
point?
You did, yes. With not much on. Somehow I remember it very well.
I do remember that performance.
So good you came back again a couple of years later. But that summer of 2004, that is when you become absolutely massive. What are your memories?
It was, oh my God, it was so much fun. It was, you know, we'd just been like running around in a van all over the place for a while. You know, we'd been hoofing it pretty hard. And I think Glastonbury really sort of tipped everything over the edge.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was fun. It was hard work. I think there was like, you know, there was a year there where we must have been the hardest working band in show business. I mean, we were just like really, you know, working harder than ever. But it was fun. I just love those shows. I've got great memories. I've got great memories of playing in Dublin. I mean, one of my best friends in Dublin after a Scissor Sisters show, I went to a bar and sat on a bar stool and was sitting there having a drink. And I turned to my right and there was a man named James sitting there. And he is now one of my best friends in the universe. So I've got great, you know, great memories, especially of Dublin. I love playing there. I'm really, really excited to be actually playing in Ireland.
I'm not surprised to hear you say it was very hard work because you were hyper energetic on stage and very fearless for 2004.
Yeah, you know, I just had to be me. I had to be me. there was just no question. I was just so full of it, you know. I was really full of it and a big ham. And it was a different time. It was a different time. And, you know, I just to think about sort of how far the world has come in certain ways in the last 20 years is pretty wild.
I've read in places when you were looking back at that time, because there weren't many out gay pop stars, and the media really had developed a fascination with just that aspect of you and the lads in the band.
Yeah, it was very interesting. And I kind of got a chip on my shoulder about it a little bit. You know what I mean? Because there's a point where you're just like, I just want to be a great band and I want to feel legit. And it sort of felt like there was this thing that was kind of always there and following us. And now, you know, things have changed so much. But at the time, people were really, really fascinated by it, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. This morning, I'm actually interviewing I've got a podcast called Queer the Music.
Yeah.
I'm interviewing Holly Johnson from Frankie Goes to Hollywood in just a couple hours.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, he's one of the only other sort of, there wasn't too many pop stars like you know, in during the last 20 years before me,
yeah,
who had kind of been doing, and he was one of them, and I'm really, really interested in talking to him today. But yeah, it was definitely a different time, and you know, I was always kind of thinking, I really hope that whatever we're doing right now, and however hard this may be at times, is sort of opening a door and making it easier for those whoever comes after. And I'm really proud of that. I feel like we did make it a little bit easier, I hope, for other artists who want to be themselves, and just people in general who want to be themselves, you know, coming after. But I mean, now you look at the landscape and it's very different, and it makes me really happy and pleased to see that.
I was fascinated, though, to see you were talking to The Guardian last year, just on this very topic. And I was surprised to see that you think it's actually tougher these days to be maybe such a, you know, out gay pop star in the world because of...
Oh, I just think it's tougher to be a pop star. I mean, you know, just... we didn't have phones in our pockets when Scissors were touring in 2004. We didn't have to deal with social media. And like, I think there was so much more fun to be had at the time without having to worry about that stuff. And, yeah, you know, you're just talking to press and people would read articles and papers or hear you on the radio or whatever. But you didn't have this constant stream of dialogue directly with people constantly that I think a lot of, you know, musicians and pop stars have to deal with now. And you know, I miss the old days, and I'm really happy I got to experience it in the old days. I really don't envy people coming up now in that way. I think it's much harder with social media and how people have to kind of operate and what's expected of them.
It's pretty brutal. Just as we thought you might disappear after such a walloper of an album, 2006 comes along, I Don't Feel Like Dancing, more success. And that comes out of a friendship with Elton John, isn't that right?
Yes. Yeah, Elton, who's still one of my best friends, longtime collaborators. I love him very much. It was, you know, that was a really, really magical moment. And so funny, I remember writing that song with him, and I remember finishing the melody and finishing the lyric and just spent, there was like 24 hours. Cause you know, when you leave the studio after you write something and you're like, you think that it could be really good, but if you go back the next morning, oftentimes you can like press play and it's just the worst thing you've ever heard. And so I remember leaving the studio that night and going to bed, just kind of praying, just thinking, God, I hope this song is as good as I think it is. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, the next morning, I remember going in and listening to it and thinking, this is really good.
Biggest song of the year in Britain and Ireland at the time. And you won an Ivor Novello Songwriting Award as well. So that ended.
Yeah, we did. So I'm really proud of that. I'm really proud of that song. And you know, all those songs that people love and, you know, that I've sung 100 million times over the years, I'm still so thankful for them.
Brilliant.
And I love singing those songs. I love people singing them along with me. I'm really, you know, I'm very grateful to have them. And, you know, hopefully we'll write a few more in my lifetime.
Yeah,
you know,
because you're still friends. And how did you come to meet Elton John? Do you remember the first time?
He came to see Scissor Sisters early days with George Michael, Emma Bunton, and Lulu, the four of them.
Oh
my God, in a really small venue. And he sat kind of directly across the stage. And instead of clapping, I remember he would kind of wave, you know, like a queen would wave at the stage. And I was sort of fascinated by that. And then the four of them came backstage. And he was just so sweet. He was so kind. And he ended up having Scissors on tour with him a little bit. We went and played his Oscar party in LA. And then he invited me and Baby Daddy to Vegas to come write with him for a while he was doing a Vegas show. And so that's what we did. We ended up flying to Vegas and writing on the stage of Caesar's Palace with his red piano. We'd set up a studio on stage and he'd play the show that night. So, you know, wild memories, you know, crazy memories. Thank God I kept and still do keep a pretty decent journal.
Oh, very good. That was the day where the Earth tilted on its axis. Such was the campiness. I'm also delighted to read that you once met Gore Vidal.
Oh my God! Yes, I couldn't. I mean, this gets so name droppy. It's ridiculous. This is so ridiculous. There was like a time in New York and LA where I was kind of hanging around Susan Sarandon a lot, and I love her. She's so sweet. And we went to the movies that afternoon with her and her boyfriend. And afterwards I was like, what are you guys doing tonight? And she's like, oh, we're going to go hang out with Gore at the piano bar at the Ritz. And I was like, are you seriously talking about Gore Vidal? And she said, yes. And she said, oh my God, he would love you. You've got to come with us. And we sat like, it was one of the craziest nights of my life. It was at the last, he died a month later.
Yeah,
and he was sitting by, we were around a piano. I was seated next to him, and it was a time in his life where he wanted to sing. So we were singing. So he, you know, we were singing along with this piano player and had this song book. And we ended up singing Unforgettable together by Nat King Cole. Wow. And it was just one of the strangest moments of my life. And he was so kind of feeble. And then he sang My Way, which just made me cry, of course. But Gore Vidal, I mean, come on. At times he, you know, during the conversation, he was like delighted by me. And then other times he was like disgusted by me. He really had like a,
he was a very conflicted man. Yes.
Intimidating character, you know.
What did he say to you about campness? Because there was a lot of talk about campness at the time.
This is my favorite thing he said. He said, I mean, I think we might have been talking about the script for Caligula that he wrote or something. And he looked at me and he said, camp is just another word for someone who's got no talent. And I was like, that is such a great quote. Yeah, but you know what? Though? Moments like that are just like, oh God, you'll never forget them, you know? And it's what a lucky life I've gotten to lead, to have these amazing moments with people I care so deeply about. And it's just, it's amazing. And it never ceases to amaze me. And I always have to pinch myself.
Do you know, you could forget the music. You could actually go just on tour, read out your journal and all these people you've met.
Oh,
all
God, years. I mean.
But in the meantime, we will get together.
People would run screaming from a lot of it. I keep a dream journal that's really scary.
Maybe keep that for the other tour. But in the meantime, Jake, it's been great to chat to you. Thank you so much, Jake Shears.
Same.
And enjoy yourself. The Scissor Sisters will be playing at Dublin's 3 Arena on the 28th of May next year. Tickets are on sale right now. Enjoy every minute of it.